Our second reading is from the letter to Romans chapter 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. The word of the Lord.
Just put something here to remind me. How am I doing in time? But John is not here, so. He can listen to it afterwards. Yeah. I don't know if somebody at some point in your life has said to you, how lovely feet you have. Maybe to some of you, but definitely to me, not. But this, Paul is citing Isaiah 52:7 here, saying, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. It's strange. Feet aren't beautiful, or we don't think of them in general as beautiful. But if you think about it, feet take us to places. It's feet that take us towards people. Feet are related to action, to movement, to getting things done. Get on your feet. Don't just be sitting there. And this weekend, as Dean mentioned, we are celebrating All Saints Day. And I want to invite you then to think about people in your life, saints in your life, people of beautiful feet, if we can use the words of Paul, that have impacted your life. Maybe some have already gone to the presence of the Lord, like my mother in last March, or others that maybe are present here. Think about these people of beautiful feet. And I invite you to pray during the sermon and ask the Lord, Lord, make me one of those people of beautiful feet. Let us pray before we continue this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you knowing that we need of your word. We need of your Holy Spirit to be able to live in a way that honors you, in a way that glorifies you, Lord. Lord, help me to be clear and faithful to your word as I share it with my brothers and sisters. Open our minds and our hearts to receive your word and to apply it in our lives day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there are three things that I want to zoom in this morning that are in this section of Romans 10 that we read. The first thing is, which is this good news that Paul is mentioning? This good news that the people of beautiful feet are going to announce, is going to share. And we see that in verses 8 to 13, especially verses 8 to 10, that says like this, but what does it say? With my glasses, I read better. The word is near to you, in your mouth and in your heart. This is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Paul uses this parallelism to talk about and emphasize the way the response of people to the Word of God and to Jesus. This response that saves us. And he mentions two things and he repeats them: belief and confession, and proclaiming, one can say. And there's this internal aspect and this external aspect. One is in the heart, we believe, and the external aspect is with the mouth, we confess, we act on it. So we can say that Paul is saying several things in these two verses. First, our saving faith is not a private thing. Even though today faith is seen and sometimes sort of shoved into us that, okay, you can believe whatever you want, but it's for yourself. But what we read here, that is something totally different. Our faith is not just for ourselves. It's something that we have to confess, we have to share, we have to act upon it. It's not just an idea that I meditate on. Paul is saying too that this faith is not a blind faith. It's not a self-reliant faith, that I don't have faith in me or in anything. Like people have said to me, I'm glad you have faith, that's important. Faith as a something. But here what Paul is saying is that it's this believing in Jesus Christ as Lord, and that he is raised from the dead. It's interesting that he mentions the resurrection. He doesn't mention his life or his death. I think that has to do with, because in the time of Paul, nobody doubted about the life and death of Christ. That was something everybody had seen, or a lot of people have seen and witnessed of it. But the resurrection was what? The sign of Jesus' divinity. He had been brought from the dead as king, resurrected. The other thing is, Paul doesn't believe this faith is something merely academic or that I think about. I believe that Jesus existed. What I know about Jesus. The Bible said that even the demons believe and tremble. So the fact that we believe that Jesus is there puts you in the same category as a demon. You haven't done anything different. This belief is a belief that affects my life. It's a belief that makes me follow Jesus. Demons don't want to follow Jesus. They don't want Jesus to affect them. But they can recognize him. This belief has a beginning, but it doesn't have an end. It's not something that happened one day in Sunday school, or in my youth group, or when somebody talked to me about Jesus, and okay, I'm saved, thank you, now I carry on with my life. Now I put my part of the work. No. This is a constant thing. Paul in Colossians is going to say, as you came to Christ, persevere in him. In verse 13, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This calling is day in and day out, minute by minute. I should be saying, Lord, help me. Lord, I can't do it without you. Lord, help me, Lord. Help me to deal with this sin. Help me to do what you ask of me, Lord. I can't do it without you. When Jesus Christ said, to come into the kingdom of heaven, you have to be like children, this is what he's talking about. He's not talking about children being innocent. He's been talking about children being totally dependent on their parents. And this is what Paul is saying here. We have to call on the name of the Lord every minute of our life. This is our breathing in Christ. In Chile, you would get on the buses, public transport, and there was a typical sign that says, Jesus is my co-pilot. And I always said, Jesus doesn't want to be the co-pilot, or he's driving, or he's off the bus. The story, when I was reading this, the story of Jesus and this blind man that calls upon him came to my mind in Luke 18. This man hears that Jesus was passing and says, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Then he shouts again, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus comes to him and says, my dyslexia got me, but bad this morning. Sorry. With my glasses? Yeah. Well, the Lord healed him. Yeah. Lord, give me help. Teach me to read. But what happened was that he recovered his sight. But not just that. It says that your faith has made you well, said Jesus. And he recovered his sight, and he followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw him, gave praise to God. So we call on God to follow God. Is that my attitude towards Christ? Or do I come to God looking for the benefits of God, but running away from God himself? What Paul is saying here is great news. Is it? Is it great news? There's somebody here that says it's great news. I believe all you think it's great news. The fact that I can come to God and it doesn't depend, it's because he has done everything. It's faith in him. And faith in him, in some sense, is not that a great thing. Do you think that wooden structure there can hold my weight? I'm quite a bit heavy, but overweight. But I think that it looks firm. I could stand there without no problem. I have faith in that. But if I would double this paper here and put it like a bench on the floor, would you believe that would carry my weight? No. But I have a lot of faith in it.
It doesn't matter how much faith I have in that paper. It's not going to do anything for me. So having faith in that wooden structure is not anything incredible, because that can take my weight. It's the same with God. When I look at Jesus Christ and Jesus that raised from the dead, how can I not have faith in him? Having faith in me would be really stupid, but having my faith in Christ is an obvious thing. So this good news of the salvation that we have in Christ, for whom does it apply? That's our second point here. Verses 11 to 13, for the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jews and Greeks, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So the answer to that question is simple. Everyone. This is for everyone. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a non-Jew. There's just one path to salvation, and that is Jesus Christ. This answer is simple, but at the same time, it's complex because it leaves us with a responsibility and with a question. I don't know if you can put the slide that comes after that, because that shows us our responsibility. The dots in red there mark the unreached people groups or frontier people groups in the world. Those are people groups that less than 0.1 peoples in those people in those group know Christ. Less than 0.1. That is our responsibility. And there are maybe some far away, but if you look in this map, you'll see that in your country, now my country too, we have red dots too. And the question is, how are we going to do that? And the question how comes in verses 14 to 15. How will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe on him from him who they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they going to preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. If we put this in order, we have sending, we being sent, or we sending others. I'm going to go into that in a minute. To preach, so they can hear and believe and confess and call on the Lord. And those who confess and call on the Lord can send, preach, so they can hear and believe and confess, and we could go round and round. This idea. We have all been sent. Sometimes we think about missions and going to places as something that some people do. Sorry. If you have believed in Christ and confessed that he is Lord of your life, this is for you too. Matthew 28 says, go and make disciples of all nations. This is called normally the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. And Acts 1:8 says, when you receive the power, when the Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. We have to pray for Jamaica. That's something. To the ends of the earth. We have been sent. Where? That's another question. It's not if you're going or not going. It's where you're going. You could be going to the people that just are visiting today at the end of the service and maybe not meeting your friends that you see in the week and meeting somebody that you don't see normally and be a witness or sharing the love of Christ with them, with your family, with your friends, with your neighbors, with the person that attends you in a shop or in the supermarket, or to an unreached people group very far away. This, we are all sent. If we are followers of Christ, we are all sent to reach all those who have never heard of Christ. And in this country, you have an advantage because people of all places live around you. You don't have to go very far to find an unreached people group. I heard the other day that deaf people are considered an unreached people group around us. And we don't realize that even though they can't hear with their ears, they can hear the Word of God if we communicate to them. The question is then, how do we go? We go, as Paul has taught us here, calling on the name of the Lord. Lord, guide me. Lord, teach me. Lord, equip me. Enable me to go in joyful obedience where you send me, wherever you send me. Our prayer doesn't have to be like, here I am, Lord, send him. Here I am, Lord, do whatever you want with me. And this calling doesn't have anything to do with what time in your life you are. It's for you if you're young and up. If you can breathe, the Lord may use you. The Lord is going to use you. And I want to invite you now to that we can pray and say, God, what do you want to do with my life? Where can I help? Where can I share the gospel or be part of sharing the gospel to others? And when you pray this, I want to have that you can have in mind this graphic that is up here. Or is it going to be up there? Yes. This shows the percentage of Christian missionaries working in places around the world. 96% of our missionaries are in places where there's more than 5% of people that identify with Christ. Just 3% are in places where there's between 0.1 and 5 people that identify with Christ. And just 1% of people or missionaries are working in an unreached people group. So that would make, I think, has to make us think of how are we distributing our workforce. I want to tell you a story as a my ending point. Remember I said to think about people that were influential in your life? I want to share one. I wanted to share three, but I decided one was enough. This is a man called Alan Garner, Captain Alan Garner. He was a member of the British Royal Navy. And when he retired, and after his wife passed away, God called him to share the gospel. And he traveled to Africa, to Asia, to Oceania, to South America. And we say he traveled by boat. He was in South America and something didn't work. He said, okay, I'll go to Australia. And he just caught his boat and other times. But he was a complete failure. And everywhere he went, there was an obstacle and another obstacle and another obstacle. And the guy was relentless because he went and went to another place and went to another place and went to another place. And the last place he went has a special place in my heart because he wanted to evangelize the indigenous people of Patagonia, especially the island of Tierra del Fuego. And with his group of friends, he arrived in this small, they left him on the coast, and they had a couple of boats. Different tragic things happened. And he died in September 1851. The last lines that he wrote in his diary on September 6th were these. Our dear brother Mainment left on Tuesday afternoon to seek for food, and he has not returned. Surely, he must be already in the presence of our Redeemer, who we served faithfully. Soon, by the grace of our Lord, we shall all meet to sing praises to Christ for eternity. I'm neither hungry nor thirsty, though I swallowed my last bite 5 days ago. Wonderful goodness and love toward me, a sinner. The amazing story is that today, if you visit South America, all the places where Alan Garner visited are the places where the Anglican Church has presence. In the human hands, eyes, he was a failure. In God's sovereignty, he was a pioneer. He was an instrument. He was a man of beautiful feet. With this story, I want you to think back on what Johnny shared last week about this sovereign and huge God. And this sovereign God is the same God that works everything for good in our life. But the fact that he is sovereign means that he is in charge and he commands us to go. He's sending you and me. It's our responsibility to obey, to follow Christ. Because Christ said, I will be with you when you go and make disciples. He is with us. He goes in front of us. Doesn't matter if you don't see the fruit of your labor. God that reigns, he'll be faithful. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that we may honor those who have come before us, those people of beautiful feet that have shared the gospel with us, that have laid their life, many of them, that we may have the Bible in our language, that we may have the liberty to speak freely the gospel. May we honor them following their example, Lord, being willing to even give our life so the people of the whole world may glorify you. Lord, I pray that people that know us may come to understand and see people of beautiful feet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.